Thank you. You know, we have to appreciate our teachers as well. They have spent a lot of time coordinating all of these. Can we give them also an encouragement to all of our Sunday school teachers? I'm so glad that my daughter is not up there to say F is for fat. My dad is getting fat. No, I'm sure they will not say that, right? Okay, so today is Father's Day, and we're going to be having all the children, I think, with us as well. We are one big family, all right? And we're going to have a short exhortation for our dads this morning. Can we just give this time to the Lord in prayer, okay? Dear Father, we want to thank you that we can call you Father, and you are the Father of all nations, the Father from whom every family on earth is named and called after. Lord, we just ask, even as we come before you right now, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts and that you will open our hearts, O Lord, to your voice, to your word, and that you will open our eyes and our ears, O Father, to your voice. Let us see you in such a glorious way. Give us a fresh revelation of who you are and of your love for us as well. And that, Lord, that we can be more like you as well to our families and to our children. Lord, we bless you. Commit this time to you now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so this morning, being Father's Day, and being the first Father's Day message I have to share here at Grace City Church, I thought I'll keep it short and simple. Okay, so it's going to be taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Now, Ephesians 6, 4, what does it say? Here, Paul is giving an exhortation to Christian fathers. Okay, so the Apostle Paul would say this in Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Now, this morning, there are going to be three parts to our exhortation. Okay, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger and bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So, first and foremost, this exhortation is given to who? Fathers. Let's talk a little bit about the significance and importance of the role of fathers. Now, fathers are called to be the head of the household, both in terms of the biological family and to be the spiritual head of the household as well. Now, according to God's design and according to God's purpose, that fathers would play a critical role as the shepherd of the family, as the head of the family. We can see this in Genesis chapter 3 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and in various parts of the Bible even as well. But headship in the family comes with heavier responsibilities and expectations as well. So what expectations or what responsibilities do fathers have to play? We can talk about many things. There are various aspects that we can talk about this morning. But if you remember, our theme for this year is to walk as Jesus walked. So we want to take and follow after the example and the model that Jesus has set for us. And we know from Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, that Jesus is the perfect representation, the perfect express image of God, the Heavenly Father. Now, there are generally, we can say, of the many things that Jesus would be to us, our Savior, our Lord, our Redeemer. Jesus has also performed three roles and is still carrying these three roles. And what are the three roles? Jesus as the priest, the prophet, and the king. Now, we fathers would want to model ourselves after Jesus. So how do we also model after Jesus in being the priest, the prophet, and the king to our families? So first of all, let's look at fathers as priests. Now, as priests, what the fathers would do is to pray and to intercede for their family. And here, one of the things that left a deeper impression on me as I was growing up and walking through my journey as a father is this part about Job. If you read the book of Job, in chapter 1, it says that Job has got many sons and daughters. And he will wake up every morning, early in the morning, to pray for his family. He will make sacrifices on behalf of his children, sin offerings to God on behalf of his children every morning. Why? Because in those days, Job, as you would, some of you would know, was a very wealthy man. And his sons and daughters would be always be eating and feasting and having parties. And Job said that in all of their eating and their feasting, they might have sinned against God. They might have blasphemed God. And so Job would, on their behalf, ask God to forgive them, and he would pray for his children. So fathers would pray and intercede for their family with God. The second thing as priests they would do is that fathers are to teach their children, teach their family, teach them how to live in covenant and to live in relationship with God. And you can read about that from the book of Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Malachi. Now, I cannot go this morning too deep into what are all the various functions of the roles of priests. I'm just going to highlight a few just to give us a taster, all right? So as priests, fathers will pray and intercede for their family, teach their family how to live in covenant with God, in relationship with God. What about fathers as prophets? Now, as prophets, their fathers are to listen to God's word, listen to God's voice, for God's voice, and to speak God's voice, God's word, to their family, right? Prophets, as you know, they are the mouthpieces of God. So the father is to do likewise. The father is then to pronounce God's word, pronounce God's blessings, benediction over their families, all right? As the prophet of the house, the father is also to point his family to the holiness of God and calls his family time and again in their life journey as a family to walk in repentance, to walk in holiness, to walk in faithfulness to God. That's the role of the prophet in the family. What about fathers as kings? Now, I know a lot of fathers will relish this idea of being the king of the family, you know, and some of the fathers may think, oh, this is the time where we're going to get, you know, at the snap of my left hand, I've got my children to feed me grapes over here. At the snap of my right hand, I got my wife to wash my feet or to give a, to fan, you know. My daughter is saying fat hope. Anyway, not so. As kings, our model is Christ Jesus. And how did Christ Jesus serve as a king? In servant leadership. So fathers as kings in the household, they are to oversee and to lead their family in servant leadership, in love and in humility. As kings, what do kings do for the people of the land? The kings will protect the people and they will provide for the people. So fathers, we are called also to protect and to provide for our family, both physically and spiritually. One more point that I will just insert here is this. In the old days, if you read the Old Testament, the kings would go out and they would lead the people in war, in battles, right? So fathers, we are also called to cover our family with prayer and to do the spiritual warfare for our family as well, as kings of the family. Amen? Okay? So you can see, fatherhood is a holy calling. It is a holy calling, it is a sacred responsibility that's entrusted to us men by God Himself. And this calling to be a father is for a lifetime. Regardless of how old our children may be, regardless of whether we are now grandfathers or great-grandfathers, the calling of a father stays with us all the way until our last breath here on earth. It does not change. And that is why the role of the father is so aggressively being attacked by Satan. Because Satan will do whatever he can to strike down the father, to strike the shepherd of the family, to take down the priest, the prophet, and the king in the family. And so today we see fatherlessness, which is the absence, the absence of the father figure in the family, is one of the biggest root problem of society today. When families, which are the basic unit of society, becomes dysfunctional, when it deviates from the design of the Creator God, this dysfunction will spread to the rest of society, and the rest of society will crumble. So that is why we have to constantly uphold our fathers and our mothers as well, for the matter, in prayer. We need to constantly look for opportunities to mentor them, to encourage them, to support them in their parenting roles. Amen? Okay? So, firstly, it's addressed to fathers. Now, what's the exhortation to fathers? The first exhortation that we see is, do not provoke your children to anger. Or in some versions, translations, it says, do not provoke your children to exasperation. So what is provoke? What does it mean to provoke? To provoke means to stir up a strong emotion, a strong feeling, a strong action. In other words, to exasperate. How will we be provoking our children? How will we be exasperating our children? We will provoke and exasperate our children when we treat them harshly, when we make unreasonable demands on our children, or we impose super high expectations on our children. We will provoke our children when we don't make allowances for their inexperience and their immaturity. When we forget that part of their growing up process, their journey in growing up, will require them to have a spirit of exploration, a spirit of adventure, that we need to let them make mistakes and learn from the mistakes. Now, we also provoke our children when we subject our children to hostile behavior. Hostile behavior like using unkind words, or we engage in a cold war, especially after an argument. We provoke our children when we subject them to humiliation, when we embarrass them or we belittle them, or when we use sarcasm on them or we ridicule them. Now, all of these provoking actions will have consequences. And what are some of the consequences that they will bring about? It will stir up within them frustration, anger, bitterness, resentment. All these actions could also undermine and erode the child's confidence, their self-esteem, and even their identity. In some cases, it would cause the child to also develop a sense of rejection and hopelessness, especially when the child is under a constant pressure of high expectations and high performance in schools, for example. There are school grades. How many of you have experienced that? You know, you go to school and you come back with your test results and you get 80 for your test, and the parent come back and say, oh, how come you didn't get 90 for your test? And you go and do a second test and you came back and you get 95. Oh, how come you only get 95? And you go and you come back and you get 100. He says, 100. Make sure all your tests you get 100 as well now. Right? Super high expectations. I don't know that experience because I wasn't a good student in school. So for my case, it was a case of whether I passed or not. Okay. Now, perhaps that is one of the reasons why many children and adults, they find it difficult to experience unconditional love and acceptance. Because, you see, love and acceptance or approval is always tied to their performance and to results. And so, love and acceptance is not based on their position or their identity as children.
many of them will see love as being conditional. They have to earn to be loved. And so you will see that many Christians today, even as adults, Christian adults, they feel that they have to serve God in order to earn His affection and to earn His approval, rather than serving God because of the love and the affection that He has given us so freely. So can you see that the consequences of provoking our children are not limited to only that short time in their childhood, but it actually inflicts on them scars that will follow them even into adulthood as well. Now, very often, if you talk to teachers and you talk to chaplains, you will realize, or they will tell you, that the way that we as parents speak and the way that we deal with our children, they will actually see the echo or the reenactment of the way we speak and deal with them in their lives, in the way they speak and deal with others. Even subsequently, with their own children. And so then the vicious cycle continues. Okay? So, let us not provoke our children to exasperation. Now, I know today a lot of children are sitting in our midst and they are like, you know, Dad, listen, Mom, listen. Okay? One day I will be sharing with you on the fifth commandment, which is honor your father and your mother. Don't worry, your time will come. Okay? So if we are not to provoke our children to anger or to exasperation, what are we to do? Fathers, we are to bring up our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Hang on, just a moment. This exhortation of bringing them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, who is it addressed to? Who is this exhortation addressed to? To fathers. Because in Ephesians 6:4, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up, right, in the discipline instruction of God. So fathers, this is our responsibility. We cannot outsource this responsibility. It is not for us to outsource it to the school teacher or to the Sunday school teacher or come to Grace City Church and outsource to the various pastors. This is our responsibility, our solemn responsibility as fathers. Now, how do we bring them up? In the discipline and instruction of whom? The Lord. So, our training and our discipline of our children has to be according to the words and the ways of God. Not according to the just any words and ways of the man, of men, or of the world. Now, while there may be good lessons and good virtues that we can pick up from our respective cultures, ethnic culture, our country culture, but we must realize that not every value that we learn in our culture actually aligns and accords with the word and the design of our Creator God. All right? Now, how should we bring up our children? There are three things that I'm going to be talking about this morning. First and foremost, if we want our children to grow in the wisdom of God, as opposed to the wisdom of men. Next slide, please. The wisdom of God as opposed to the wisdom of men, then the starting point and the recurring point throughout their lives has to be the fear of the Lord. That is what Proverbs is about. That the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is insight or understanding. So fathers and mothers, we need to teach our children to fear the Lord. What do you mean by fear of God? Fear of God means having a holy reverence for God. Fear of God means that we seek first the kingdom of God in our lives. The fear of God means we acknowledge God in all of our ways. And when our children, including each of us as adults, when we have a holy and a reverential fear of God, wisdom, honor, provisions will follow. You read the book of Proverbs, you will see that in the first 8 to 10 chapters, it talks about the value of wisdom. But most importantly, our children's future, their eternity, is anchored and secured in Christ Jesus. That's the most important. All right? Now, in order to develop a holy, reverential fear for God and to follow in His ways, we must know God. We must know God in terms of knowledge and in terms of experience. So the second thing that we need to teach our children is the Word of God. When we instruct our children, we need to instruct them directly from the Bible, from the Word of God itself. And the Word of God reveals to us a few things. First and foremost, the Word of God is a revelation of God. It reveals to us who God is, His attributes. What are some of His attributes? For example, that God is almighty, He is sovereign, He is absolutely holy, and He is just. His nature, it reveals to us the nature of God. For example, that God is His loving kindness, He's gracious, He's merciful, He's compassionate, He's faithful. The Word of God also reveals to us how do we live in relationship with God as His people. How do we live as God's people? For example, it teaches us to live in holiness, in purity, in integrity, in love and humility. It teaches us how to walk in obedience to the ways and the words of God. And the third thing that the Word of God reveals to us is the purpose of God, the purposes of God. What is His will for the world and what is His will for us? God's will for the world is that all will come to repentance and be reconciled to our Heavenly Father, right? Through Jesus, His Son. And God's will for us as Christians and as children of God, as disciples of Christ, is that we will grow in intimacy of relationship with our Heavenly Father and to enjoy Him forever. How do we teach the Word of God? Here, I'll refer you to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Here, it says that we need to soak them, literally soak them in the Word of God daily. In our daily activities, our daily routines, when we are driving them to school, for example, when we are driving them to classes, soak them in the Word of God. When we are taking a walk with them, when we are having our meals with them, soak them in the Word of God. When we are having our daily prayers in the morning, you know, when we start the day in the morning, pray with our family. In the evening, we close the day with a prayer with our family. In our reflections on the day, soak them in the Word of God. And in our home environment as well. In our home environment itself, there's a box. That box can give you good stuff and news, but that box can also give you not so good stuff. You know what that box is, right? The television. So what is soaking your home environment today? The third way that we bring up our children in the ways of the Lord is that we need to show them how to live according to God's word. In other words, we as parents, as fathers, we need to be role models. Not only do we talk and do we teach, we need to model and show them what it looks like. What do we model and show them? Firstly, we are to reflect the image and the nature of God to our family in a real and tangible way. So if we say that God is loving and He's kind and that He's gracious, merciful, faithful, we need to model that to our family. Now, we also need to model to our family how to live in our identity as a child of God. How do we live in our life's mission as a disciple of Christ? Do our values, do our choices, our priorities, and the way that we live our life, do all of these reflect our identity as children of God? Do all of these reflect our mission in life as a disciple of Christ? You see, it is not only it's not only important on what is taught, but more importantly, what is caught in the heart. Now, one of the more effective ways of learning is consistency. In other words, you can call it integrity. Children and even adults, they probably learn most effectively by observation. And they will be able to differentiate, children will be able to differentiate over time what is merely lip service and what is the real thing. So for example, if we tell our children, hey, you know what, honesty is the best policy, then just make sure that when someone calls us, we don't tell our children to tell that person, tell him I'm not here. Or if we tell our children, you know what, it's important to live in humility, then let us then model what does that look like. So personally, if I'm in the wrong, and if I've wronged my children, if I have overreacted, then I will model humility by apologizing to them as children and as a father. Model humility. Now, if I tell my children that, you know what, we need to put God at the top priority, the highest honor, then as a father, I got to also make sure that I'm not late for church. I don't do other stuff on a Sunday morning instead of going to church, for example. Modeling. We need to demonstrate integrity in both our words and our actions. We need to practice what we preach and what we teach. And so you will see here, the only way that we can be effective in bringing up our children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord is when we first have our own real, authentic relationship and walk with God. We need to first have a real relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. We need to have that journey of faith. Only then will we be able to impart and disciple our children, our family, effectively in the faith. Because we cannot give and we cannot impart what we do not have. Right? Now, some of you might be thinking this morning, what if I did not have a good role model as a good fatherly role model? Or what if perhaps I'm a single mother? My encouragement to you is, do not fret. Don't give up. Because remember, first and foremost, God, our Heavenly Father, He is our ultimate role model as a father. And He is the one who will also enable us. So, we can observe and we can learn from the Bible. How did God parent the Israelites in the Old Testament? How did Jesus live and minister to people while He was here on earth? How did Jesus disciple His disciples? Then we let our experience, let our relationship with God, with our Heavenly Father, be the model and the guide for us to parent our children. In other words, we parent our children the way God, our Heavenly Father, parents us. And in the absence, in the physical absence of a father, the role of the head of the family and the spiritual head of the family can also be performed by the mother. Under such circumstances, God will empower the mother with special grace and by His Spirit. And along the way, God will also, in His grace, send other godly father figures and mentors to supplement and to strengthen. I can tell you that because this was my testimony as well. For a good part of my life, my dad was not a Christian, and he has got all his flaws and his shortcomings as well. But my mom assumed the spiritual headship, and she mentored us as children. She guided us. She grounded us in the Word of God, grounded us in the values of God. And today, I'm able to serve the Lord in this capacity. So I know that it is possible. Now, God has also meant for the church community to be the village that raises the child. You heard of the term, it takes a village to raise a child. The church community, we bear a collective responsibility. We bear the collective responsibility to teach, to impart, and to be godly role models to our children, both the young ones and even the older children in our midst as well. And some of you may be thinking, some of you guys might be thinking, but what if I do not feel adequate as a father? Remember this, brothers. Fatherhood, parenthood, is a God-appointed calling and vocation. Now, when we respond to God's call, when we pick up the mantle of fatherhood, when we desire to be godly fathers, and when we work in partnership with our Heavenly Father, He will empower and He will enable us to perform our calling by His Spirit. Amen. Consider this morning Joseph, who was the earthly father, the earthly parent of Jesus. Can you imagine how Joseph must have felt, how inadequate he must have felt when it was told to him that, Joseph, you are going to be the father, by the way, you're going to be the father of the Son of God, you're going to be the father of the Messiah, you're going to be the father of the one who will save the people from their sins. How inadequate would Joseph have felt? Who am I? I'm just a carpenter, or I'm just an ordinary stonemason. What do I have to give? But you look at Joseph, how did he parent? When God spoke, he simply listened and he obeyed. He did whatever he could, whatever he knew, to raise Jesus up in the way of the Lord. God does not require fathers to be perfectly adequate before He calls fathers into fatherhood. But God is looking for fathers who will put their faith in Him, who will put their love and their hope in Him, walk with Him wholeheartedly, and in turn, teach His family to do likewise. Remember then, fatherhood is a God-given calling and a vocation. It is sacred and it is holy. And fatherhood is a lifetime calling. Regardless of how old our children may be, we still carry the role of fathers. Even in our old age, we may not be able to teach them as effectively or in the same way that we taught them when they were young. But the important thing that we need to do as fathers is to pray for our children. Cover them in prayer. This is something that we can do only here in this world, not there. So while we carry the role of fathers, let's play our roles here well. Wives, do also affirm, encourage, and support and submit to your husbands in their roles as the head of the family and as fathers. Fathers, let us fulfill our roles in the family as the priest, the prophet, and the king, the shepherd of our family. It is also important for us, fathers, to love our wives. Love our wife as how Christ loved the church and laid down His life for the church. Because we need to be godly role models of godly husbands and godly fathers to our children. we need to be also good representatives. We need to be good image bearers of God to our children so that through our lives, they can see how good our Heavenly Father is and that they will come to know our Heavenly Father truly. And as fathers, remember, it is important for us to also pronounce blessings and benedictions over our children and over our whole family, not only for this generation here and now, but for their future generations as well. And that is why, if you read the Old Testament, this father's blessing is such an important thing. And that is why when I was coming into full-time ministry, or when I had the call of God to come into full-time ministry, my dad has not yet accepted the Lord as his personal Lord. And I told God this. I said, Lord, if you want me to go into full-time ministry, two things must happen, Lord, that I ask. One, my dad must be saved. And two, I want my dad to bless me specifically for the ministry. And when my dad accepted the Lord at 63 years old, it was at that time that he got saved, and he, out of his own accord, stood up one day, put his hands on my hands, and says, Aaron, I bless you for the work of the Lord and the ministry of the Lord. A father's blessing. Now, as fathers and as parents, our ultimate goal, our ultimate desire, It's not just simply for our children to be known in terms of the money that they make or the earthly achievements that they collect here on earth, which will all one day pass away. None of these will remain with us. We cannot bring it with us into eternity. But our ultimate desire and our ultimate goal is for our children to know God personally and to be known by God. So fathers, let us bring up and let us nurture our children and our family in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, so that we and our families, we may glorify God in everything that we do, and that we may enjoy God forever. Amen. Now, at this point of time, I'd like to invite our fathers to take a stand. Fathers, would you take a stand, please? And I'm going to invite all of our fathers to the front, and we're going to pray for our fathers. Come, fathers. Okay, come. Can we just welcome them? Can we just encourage them? I can tell you from personal experience, it's not easy being a father. Okay. Let's welcome our fathers to the front. Brother Michael, would you like to join us? It's okay, it will be fine. It will be fine. Yes. Thanks. Is Uncle Charles up there? Uncle Charles? He's down? He's gone down as well? Okay, I've seen him walking over. Okay. Oops, careful. It's all right. It's all right. Part and parcel of being a father. Okay, fathers, come to the front. Come, fathers. Wow, we've got so many fathers. Can someone do a quick count? How many fathers do we have? Oh, do we look like we have at least 50 fathers? More? Okay. How many fathers do we have up front? Okay, I can't count. But anyway, 50? About 50. Okay, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We were preparing some stuff for our fathers, and then they were saying that, oh, we actually have got more mothers than fathers usually. You know, but we will pray that this trend will equalize in the days ahead. Amen? Okay. Now, can we, those of you in the congregation, children, can you all stretch your hand forward? And we're going to pray for our fathers. Okay. Okay, come. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for all of our fathers. We recognize, Lord, that you have called us into fatherhood, a holy and a sacred call. And we thank you for this wonderful privilege, this awesome privilege, Lord, to play the role of fathers and to model after you. We pray this morning for all of our fathers. Help us, Lord, to grow in depth and in intimacy of our relationship with you, first of all, our good Heavenly Father. Help us to be godly fathers to our children. Help us to be godly husbands to our wives. Help us to be effective role models and image bearers of God to our families. Help us, Lord, we pray, to model after Christ Jesus as the priest, the prophet, and the king, and to lead our families in meekness, in gentleness, in love and humility. Holy Spirit, would you come now and would you anoint every father here this morning and those who are watching us online. Empower and enable every father here in GCC, in Grace City Church, to nurture, to encourage, to raise their children, grandchildren, household, to know you personally and to be known by you. We ask all these right now in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. And so, fathers, we've got something prepared for all of you. And we're going to invite our youths to give every father their Father's Day gift. Our youths, yep. Can we just encourage our fathers? Now, after you have received your gift, please remain in the front. Okay, we're going to give the benediction. We're going to give thanks for the food as well. And then I'm going to give you a bit of instructions on what to do. Okay? Okay, can we give to every father? Make sure every father has the gift. Father, has every father received their gifts? Yes? Yes? Do you feel appreciated enough? Yeah? Okay? Alright, you can go back and later and ask someone to, ask your family to give you a hug, and if you want another hug, you can come to me, I'll give you a hug as well. Okay? Alright, now can we now give the benediction, alright? And I'd like to invite all of us to take a stand. Raise your hands to our Heavenly Father, okay, as we receive His blessing. And then we're going to pray for and give thanks for the food as well. Now may the Lord bless all of you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give all of you peace. And now unto Him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray and give thanks for the food. Dear Father, we want to thank you again for this time and the privilege to be able to fellowship with each other in your presence. Lord, we thank you for the food that's laid before us. We thank you for the fellowship that we're going to have. May you bless the food, bless the fellowship that we have. Let everything that we say and do, Lord, be edifying to one another. And Lord, we want to also thank you for everyone who has put in help, O Lord, even into preparing the food and preparing the place for us, even in this morning service even as well. Lord, would you bless and honor every one of them as well. Bless them richly. We ask all these right now in Jesus' name. Amen.